Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I don't know if we're in or not. I don't know what the problem is. But anyway, we're going to try here to play the President Harding tape. He's talking about the military. Okay, I get it.
That bears on me the realization of the unusual character of this occasion. Our republic has been at war before. It has asked and received the supreme sacrifices of its sons and daughters, and faith in America has been justified. Many sons and daughters made the sublime offer and went to hallowed graves as the nation's defenders. But we never before sent so many to battle under the flag in a foreign land. Never before was there the impressive spectacle of thousands of dead returning to find eternal resting place in the beloved homeland. The incident is without parallel in the history that I know. These dead know nothing of our ceremonies today. They sense nothing of the sentiment or the tenderness which brings their wasted bodies to the homeland for burial, close to kin and friends and cherished associations. These poor bodies are but the clay tenements once possessed of souls with claimed and patriotic devotion. Lighted new hopes on the battlegrounds of civilization, and in their sacrifices, fed on to accuse autocracy before the court of eternal justice. We are not met for them, though we love and honor and speak a grateful tribute. It would be futile to speak to those who do not hear, or to sorrow for those who cannot sense it, or to rejoice those who cannot know. But we can speak for country. We can reach those who sorrowed and sacrificed through their service, who suffered through their going, who glory with the Republic through their heroic achievements, who rejoice in the civilization their heroism preserves. Every funeral, every memorial, every tribute is for the living, an offering in compensation of sorrow. When the light of life goes out, there's a new radiance in eternity. Somehow the glow of it relieves the darkness which is left behind. Never a death, but somewhere a new life. Never a sacrifice, but somewhere an atonement. Never a service, but somewhere, somehow an achievement. These have served, which is the supreme inspiration in living. They have earned everlasting gratitude, which is the supreme solace in dying. No one may measure the vast and varied affections and sorrows centering on this priceless cargo of bodies, once living, fighting for and finally dying for the Republic. One's words fail, his understanding is halted, his emotions are surged beyond control when contemplating these thousands of beloved dead. I find 100,000 sorrows touching my heart. There's ringing in my ears like an admonition eternal, an insistent call. It must not be again. It must not be again. God grant that it will not be. And let a practical people join in cooperation with God to the end that it shall not be. I would not wish a nation for which men are not willing to fight and if need be to die. But I do wish for a nation where it's not necessary to us that sacrifice. I do not pretend that millennial days have come, but I can believe in the possibility of a nation being so righteous as never to make a war of conquest, and a nation so powerful in righteousness that none will dare invoke her wrath. I wish for us such an America. These heroes were sacrificed in the supreme conflict of all human history. They saw democracy challenged and defended it. They saw civilization threatened and rescued it. They saw America affronted and resented it. They saw our nation's rights imperiled and stamped those rights with a new sanctity and renewed security. We shall not forget. No matter whether they lie amid the sweetness and the bloom of the homeland, or sleep in the soil they crimson, our mindfulness, our gratitude, our reverence shall be in the preserved republic, the maintained liberties, and the supreme justice for which they died.
And that was a recording from the Western Public Radio and KLW. And Carson Brazola Audio Historical Archives, some of the work that we did for the San Francisco Unified School District. The reason we bring it up today, Warren Harding was nominated back in 1920. He was the first president, first nominee, who had identifiable African ancestry, and when he was accused of having, quote, Negro blood, what it was called in those days, he replied, "I can't help it if one of my ancestors jumped over the back fence." So this whole business about Obama being the first black president is not accurate. And the Ohio historians and other historians who have looked very carefully into Harding's ancestry verify that this is a very valid fact. It's not a historical fiction. That's what we've been getting by some of the morons in the media. The Obama birth certificate has come up in a different way. The a guy who was a news writer here in San Francisco, a guy named Johnny Brannon, B-R-A-N-N-O-N, wrote for the old Fang San Francisco Examiner. The San Francisco Examiner has gone through so many owners. It started with Hearst for many, many years. Then the Fangs bought it using HUD money, believed to use HUD money. Then it was bought by Angelus, a guy out of Denver who inherited it, who's had a lot of money, conservative. Then it was recently purchased by a guy named Bruce Vogel, who is apparently a gay activist and is going to turn it into a left-wing paper this time. Well, anyway, back in 1999, in June, or was it October, Stephen Airey, U.S. Navy sailor, 18 years old, was put on trial for killing a homosexual rapist who happened to be connected to the prosecutor in the case. Juan P. Frey was the rapist, illegal alien, a homosexual rapist who had attacked other young military recruits. And Juan P. Frey was a friend of the prosecutor who also gave him his organization millions of HUD dollars, which they never accounted for. You could never get any certified accounting or any accounting. Well, anyway, Johnny Brandon was writing for this paper, and you can see it on, we'll put it up on the web again, in which he accused Steve Neri of having a gay tryst. Now, Steve Neri never knew this guy, and this Juan P. Frey, and on the night that it happened in March of 1996, it was P. Frey that went out that night high on cocaine looking for young white boys, and that his own party goers that he was at in the Castro testified to that fact. Well, anyway, they did a hit piece on this poor kid, kind of semi-literate from Arkansas, and nobody stood up for him. Well, anyway, Johnny Brandon got caught in this libel. And after the trial, he was allowed to examine evidence, which is another violation. Well, Brandon then fled San Francisco and then surfaced in Honolulu, working for the Honolulu Advertiser, and he recently wrote an article on Obama's background in Honolulu and related to the so-called birth certificate. Anyway, he's now been exposed for what he did, and he's never repudiated what he wrote, this libel, and he wrote two articles accusing Neri of having a gay tryst. Maybe he was projecting his own sexual activities. We don't know, but a tryst, it's not a word that's often used, but the definition is a secret meeting of two lovers. And Juan P. Frey certainly didn't love anybody, and Steve Neri never knew him and would have never loved him to begin with. He was raped. So this is another case of male rape. Now, we just heard over the weekend that the U.S. Secretary of Commerce, John Bryson, was cited for felony hit and run. He may have had a heart attack, or we don't know exactly. He hit two cars and then left the scene. He was cited, but he's supposedly in the hospital. But we're seeing more and more of these hit and runs, of reckless driving, people on drugs, people bullying behind the wheel, other drivers and bicyclists and pedestrians. And practically every week in San Francisco, in fact, in Northern California, there's either somebody run down, a pedestrian being injured or killed while walking in the crosswalk, cars hitting other cars and running down people, even bicyclists running down people. It's like open season. Nobody obeys the law. And most recently, last Friday, a French woman parked illegally with a huge Volvo. We'll put this up because there's an involvement here. And she parked in a crosswalk, which facilitates handicapped people in wheelchairs and that near two senior citizen homes for disabled senior citizens. Well, this woman goes to get her afternoon lunch while blocking the crosswalk. Well, as she blocked the crosswalk, she parked her big vehicle on the tire of a disabled senior citizen and damaged his tire, and there's an air leak. Well, anyway, when she came back, he confronted her and said, "I wanted to give me your insurance. You damaged my tire." She refused and started to try to drive off. And anyway, he got behind her vehicle and tried to stop her from driving off because she couldn't go forward. And she was moving slowly, and he was either knocked down or fell down. It's unclear what happened, because everything happened so fast. In the meantime, some derelict white drunk, an old guy, comes across the 300 feet across the street, waving his cane, and starts to attack the man who was trying to stop the woman from driving off. And he hits the senior citizen whose car had been damaged, his tire, rather. And he starts yelling at him and knocks the camera out of his hand. And then when the police came, he disappears. So this will be up on the web on Damn Reckless Driver or one of the affiliated websites. But these are the kind of things that are going on. We don't even know. We keep hearing that some people are on this new bath salts besides the usual drunkenness. And, of course, there are more and more cases of this. Incidentally, the Canadian cannibal case, we got a tape of that killing. The guy was alive when the tape was shot, but it looks like there was a third party in that room when this horrible crime happened, and we expurgated the most disgusting parts. But similar thing happened here in San Francisco at the Glory Hole party in a penthouse of the Furniture Mart downtown in San Francisco, and that's up on the web, when the prosecutor in the Steve Nery case, Terrence Allen, and the sheriff in the Steve Nery case, Hennessy, some judges, local judges, we don't know who they were, we don't know if the public defender was there, and prominent politicians and Mayor Willie Brown was there for a birthday party of Jack Davis, who turned 50. Jack Davis was a homosexual political consultant who spends his time in Arizona when he's not in San Francisco running or trying to run campaigns or running them into the ground. Anyway, glory holes were erected, and apparently some of the politicians there and lesbians decided, tried to figure out how to use one or were using them. And there was public masturbation, according to the reports we had, we got. And also there was simulated cannibalism. A star was carved on somebody's back with flesh taken and offered to the partygoers in a simulated cannibalism. There was alcohol there, and also we don't know if there was any pot or any other drugs. But anyway, this is what went on in San Francisco at the Glory Hole party, and it's been exposed. Surprisingly, it was in even the San Francisco Examiner, which is a gay, which had become a homosexual gay newspaper. So these are just some of the things that are still going on, and unfortunately, it's Democrats who have been getting involved in this garbage. They're becoming the party of pedophiles, pornographers, poll box stuffers, vote fraud, and poverty profiteers. It's unfortunate, but once great party has descended into the sewer of American life. So, you know, hopefully things will change this fall, and maybe people will wake up and not only throw the rascals out, but keep them out permanently. Now, we will be putting up the San Francisco's landmark artist, Jim Gleason, and some of his artwork and interview we did. So that'll be put up on AMICUSVERITAS YouTube. And also there'll be more on Jack Cashel, probably the most famous, least publicized author in American letters. He also worked as the Kansas City Housing Authority, and he was threatened because he was going to expose corruption, and his wife is a famous professor. So these are some of the things coming up, and we are going to end with our politics and poker, and we'll be back Wednesday, and hopefully we'll have we had a little problem today. So here we go. We're going to use our using a different approach today. And so here we go with our usual ending thing.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game for children, neither game is rough. Decisions,
how to play,
how to bet,
politics or poker? Which is more important?
Parrot race.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll fall.
I'll fold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Rubbing neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
Wednesday, and go to our YouTube site, Amicus YouTube, Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas, YouTube, and also Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas.org. So good night, and we'll be back Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Hopefully, I have all our problems resolved. Good night.